upapatim shanta. Shika shantam ivanalam. Chira vasa vrataksama. Veni bhuta shiroruha. Babau upapatim shanta. Shika shantam ivanalam. Vaishnavis, Chiravasa, wearing all garments. Vrataksama, lean and thin on account of austerities. Venibhuta, entangled. Shiroruha, hair. Babau, she shone. Upapatim, near the husband. Shanta, peaceful. Shika, flames. Shantam, without being agitated. Eva, like. Analam, fire. Translation. The daughter of King Vidarbha wore all garments, and she was lean and thin because of her vows of austerity. Since she did not arrange her hair, it became entangled and twisted into knots, in locks. Although she remained always near her husband, she was as silent and unagitated as the flame of an undisturbed fire. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one begins to burn firewood, there is smoke and agitation in the beginning. Although there are so many disturbances in the beginning, once the fire is completely set, the firewood burns steadily. Similarly, when both husband and wife follow the regulative principles of austerity, they remain silent and are not agitated by sex impulses. At such a time, both husband and wife are benefited spiritually. One can attain this stage of life by completely giving up a luxurious mode of life. In this verse, the word chiravasa refers to very old, torn garments. The wife especially should remain austere, not desiring luxurious dresses and living standards. She should accept only the bare necessities of life and minimize her eating and sleeping. There should be no question of mating. Simply by engaging in the service of her exalted husband, who must be a pure devotee, the wife will never be agitated by sex impulses. The vanaprastha stage is exactly like this. Although the wife remains with the husband, she undergoes severe austerities and penances, so that although both husband and wife live together, there is no question of sex. In this way, both husband and wife can live together perpetually. Since the wife is weaker than the husband, this weakness is expressed in this verse with the words upapatim. Upa means near to or almost equal to. Being a man, the husband is generally more advanced than his wife. Nonetheless, the wife is expected to give up all luxurious habits. She should not even dress nicely or comb her hair. Hair combing is one of the main businesses of women. In the vanaprastha stage, the wife should not take care of her hair. Thus, her hair will become tangled in knots. Consequently, the wife will no longer be attractive to the husband. And she herself will no longer be agitated by sex impulses. In this way, both husband and wife can advance in spiritual consciousness. This advanced stage is called the Paramahamsa stage. And once it is obtained, both husband and wife can be actually liberated from bodily consciousness. If the disciple remains steady in the service of the spiritual master, he need no longer fear falling down into the clutches of Maya. Om Agyanati Mirandasaganjana Saraka Chakshuru Mritamida Taspashi Guru Nama. I should die, I Om Vishuddha Krishna Sabudre, Shimada Bhakti Vedanta Swamini, Tinamine Namaste, Sarasvati Devi, Guruvani Pisharinani, Rishis Sunyavad, Paschati Shatarine, Vanchakalpurva Shafi Vasindva Shapi, and Pivishnip. Namunma. The daughter, this is translation again, the daughter of King Vidarbha wore old garments, and she was lean and thin because of her vows of austerity. Since she did not arrange her hair, it became entangled and twisted in locks. Although she remained always near her husband, she was as silent and unagitated as the flame of an undisturbed fire. This is a description of the standards of vanaprastha life. There are four ashrams. How many of you are in the brahmachari ashram? How many of you are in the grihastha ashram? How many of you are in the vanaprastha ashram? How many of you are not sure what ashram they are? You are not sure. Well, better make up your mind. You are vanaprastha. Why you didn't raise your hand?
I took a different path.
You took a different path? What path you took?
I
Gotcha. But now you identify as Vanaprastha, basically. Gotcha. So Vanaprastha stage, it's very nice, actually. Somebody mentioned that, but I can relate, that's why I'm saying. I'm also repeating. Somebody said that actually it's the best time in life, in one sense. Because brahmachari, yeah, it's very nice. It's one is kind of carefree, no? If he's good brahmachari, he serves his guru, he serves, he does whatever needs to be done, book distribution, like that. So in one sense, it's a very non-complicated life. But at the same time, one is still young, may not be so experienced, the senses are still strong, is the whole life in front of the person, and the person may think, should I get married, should I not get married? So there are those type of uncertainties. Grihastha life is very nice. But of course, there are certain elements of responsibility. There is the duty of produce economy, and that generally takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. And then, of course, there are children which are extremely beautiful. But they also bring some other responsibilities. Now they have to grow up. Sometimes they don't sleep at night and they cry all day, all night, or they have other problems. You have to take them to the dentists. And oh, there are so many other, but it's very nice. Then, sannyas life is very nice. But at the same time, you're always in the spotlight, no? A sannyasi, it's like you go there with this danda, everybody pays your obeisances, you know. It's a bit of a... You're always under the spotlight. Huh? Everything you'd say, Maharaj said that. Everything you do is like the whole world looks at you, you know, you're under scrutiny, you're under like a microscope 24/7, no? But Vanaprastha, in one sense, see, nobody really look up to, I mean, socially so much Vanaprastha, no, generally, no? He didn't say, Vanaprastha came. Okay, we respect, no, but it's generally is not so emphasized. And so that aspect is not there. Then the brahmachari, the youthfulness, it's gone. So one generally is supposed to have to be a kind of moved on. No, your children, how old are they? 31 and 40. 31. You don't even remember. Huh? So you are not responsible anymore for them financially. Oh, they're responsible for you. So, see, if they're good children, they also help, take care. But the point is that you're not responsible anymore. Now they walk on their own legs. You did what you did. They did what, you know, they chose what they want to do. And it's all out of your hands. And it's kind of, that thing is, ideally should be out of your system. No, you have the children you got. You didn't get the children you didn't get. But that's it for this life. It's enough. And so that sense of, okay, I've gone through it. And of course, all the heavy responsibility of the grihastha life are not there anymore. And the wife, she's faithful, she's following the husband. So together, they can stay together. So they still have that emotional support. They're still a couple. No, they've lived together 20, 25, 30 years. They still can be a couple, a pair, like a partnership. So that relation is very nice. Now they're not like young young man and a young woman. So they can be very peaceful, serene. And generally, they're not so old, so they still have some energy left in the body. They still have some good 10, 20 years of service they can do. So Vanaprastha, in one sense, is the best ashram. And fact, the Devanaprastha as a movement for us is one of the greatest, what do you call, assets that we have. They have experience. Some of them even they have money, actually, because they worked for 25 years. They accumulated a little stash, or what do you call the nest? What do you call the nest egg? Nest egg. They don't have any financial burden. They can leave their money, and now they can serve. They can become. They can take responsibility within the temples. They can take responsibility with another project, teach in Gurukul, do other things. And they are experienced members of society. They can give good advice. Like that. But at the same time, you don't become a Vanaprastha just because of age. It's just not a question of time that you look at your watch, oh, now I'm a Vanaprastha. It's not like that. You may become old just by time, but not Vanaprastha. See, Vanaprastha, Vana means forest. Traditionally, they were actually moving into the forest. And the Bhagavatam is full of this. This also, of course, this is one example. There are many other examples of kings. They will live with nothing. But to do that, there was a build-up. First of all, generally there was this, a phase of brahmacharya. So they're one who learns the detachment from the world, learns about austerity. Then when he goes into the grihastha life, especially after being 10, 15, 20 years in Gurukula, then he's purified, he's equipped. The Bhanu Samhita describes the Brahmachari was moved on from the Gurukul as Snataka. That's a Vedic term, the Snataka. The one who has taken bath. Snana means bath. So the Snataka, one who has been washed. And so he does there are ceremonies to move out of the ashram. One ceremony includes that the Guru washes the feet of the disciple. It's a sort of free from the desk or whatever. So then, anyway, there is this snata, and and then he can move on to grihastha life. And if he has been a good brahmachari, there's a good chance he's also being a good grihastha with values, charity. He has faith in God. He knows that he has to, he cannot just accumulate money, he has to give. And he's like a guru in the family. And especially if the wife is also devoted, sincere. So they both advance, no? And then they come on one stage when the children are grown up, that there's a point that you don't need to engage anymore. And there is these external aspects. Originally, in the Bhagavatam sometimes described, that they will go in the forest and wear just tree barks. I don't know if you ever wore tree barks, but they're not so comfortable. You know, they are kind of rough. No. So, but that's the Vanaprastha, that they will do austerities with fires and all that. Now it's not required. But Srila Prabhupada indicates this kind of simplicity. Here he said, Chiravasa, all garments, no more this, no devotees with this type of borders and things. So simple. Can be white, can be yellowish, but simple. No, nothing fancy. And eating less, also because ideally, when one is older, they shouldn't eat too much, can digest anyway. So there, the wife, Srila Prabhupada say about combing of the hair. It's Srila Prabhupada says one of the main businesses of women. Of course, not main business in the sense of, say, one of the main business, not the main business. One of the main, they do many other things and duties, but they do have a special attention to the hair. And it's a legitimate. Different culture, different times, different places. The hair is taken care of in different way. In traditional culture, like Indian culture, the hair, they have some oils and things, no? They have to comb so it doesn't become all mushy or some dirty or something. And then there are shampoos and things. Some people prefer to dye them green or other colors. But there is generally a lot of attention to the hair. I was in Africa last year. In Africa, somehow ladies, at least in that part of Africa, they hardly ever wash the hair. And what they do, they have, because they have African hair, so they put what do you call, some kind of prosthesis, hair prosthesis, like artificial hair. And this artificial hair, I don't know how to explain, it's like you stick it with some kind of glue, no? And so they have this hair, like blonde hair, and everybody has. And you can see, even in a very slum area, there's so many hair, hair salons. Everywhere. It's like almost the main business. And it's like a very strange thing. I don't know how to explain. Basically, they put some hair, some are real hair of somebody else, and some are just plastic hair. And they put it and they stick it like that. And then you cannot do anything because you cannot wash it and anything. So I was there with my wife. She said, I want to try. So she went to a hair salon near the temple. You guys were strange. She got one strange hair. They stuck her like that. And she came back to the temple. I don't feel good. So she kept it on half an hour. So then she went back to the hair salon. And she just took it out. No, it's just kind of disgusting sensation with this glue in the head. Anyway, this is was just an episode, but generally it's a fact. No, hair are important for the, there's a business, billions of dollars business. Dye hair, wash hair. What's that?
Cut hair,
different shapes. See, Indian culture is very nice because there is, like, traditionally you have one hairstyle, no? You have the simanta, what do you call it? Like this, in the middle, then you pull it nicely, just one. Unfortunately, in the West, there are so many styles, people really get confused, you know? They put one side, another side, they cut it short, and then they dye it another color. In India, traditionally, beautiful hair means black, no? Very black is considered beautiful. But unfortunately, in the West, people are just, they don't know, no, because they're never satisfied. They look at themselves in the mirror, I should cut it like this, I should cut it like that. It's very painful. If they have curly hair, they want, what do you call it? Straight hair. If they have straight hair, they want curly. No, it's like, it's a bit of it's a problem. I mean, problem, it's an imaginary problem. But it's a major. So it's nice when they join the Hare Krishna movement, they adopt Krishna, they adopt Indian standards. So no, good, nice. It's nice. For men, of course, it's easy. You just cut everything. Yeah. Then some people matted hair. No, the rastas like that. They go around. I was flying yesterday, there was one man, this was man, but like an American man with blonde hair, all rasta, you know, kind of took two seats, just the hair, took two seats in the airplane. So hair, it's an issue. Because it's something very public, you know, it's right there. So vanaprastha, no more taking care of the hair. For the ladies, I said that it becomes into lock, like matted hair. And then, or I can see sometimes, ladies, they cut their hair. No, they cut their hair, they keep it very short, easy to wash, like that, nothing. Like Lakshmi Mani, Mataji, Prabhu, like that. You know, just a few hair, you just wash, and you don't care anymore how it looks, like that. So, it's like cutting fingernails. If you cut it at the right time, it doesn't hurt. And actually then you feel fresh, you feel clean. If you cut too much, too early, it hurts. It hurts very much. And sometimes you cut a little more for a few days, you feel like kind of some sore, no? So all this detachment should be done at the proper time. If you do it too early, like one Maharaj was saying, our problem sometimes, our Grihasthas live like Vanaprasthas. They don't have the experience of Grihastha life. They feel, because you know, in the books there are many descriptions. This is Vanaprastha. Some Grihastha try to imitate the Vanaprastha stage, but they are not at the stage, so they become very frustrated. Everybody gets frustrated. So there is a time for everything, no? You have the time to experience the children, law, like that. Then they're grown up, they're gone. But if you have little children, they want your affection, and you try to be, hey, you are, you know, who are you, or something, I'm detached. Then, you know, it doesn't match. So, sometimes the example of the coconut is given, that the coconut when it's fresh, the pulp, the white part, is attached to the shell. But then gradually becomes detached. And it's going to ripen. Then you remove the coconut, and see it's all detached inside. In fact, sometimes you can break the coconut and the whole ball of pulp is unbroken because it's detached. So similarly, sometimes you need to be careful not to do these things too early, too artificially. Otherwise, people are not satisfied with their Grihastha life. Then they try another Grihastha life. There is a difference of what you call detachment and frustration. It's different. It's different. Anyway, these are some considerations on this verse. Any questions or comments? Yes?
With the hair issue, I was...
The hair issue?
Yeah. Ah. I think there's a part in the 12th canon that talks about that too.
Yeah, you wanted to add something?
Well, it's the conditions of the people in Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
I think it's in that chapter. But anyways, I remember when I moved into the Evanston Temple...
I can't hear.
When I moved into the Evanston Temple, the temple president told me to get that stool off my head.
The stool off your head?
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Okay,
yeah. So I cut my hair, and then... like 15 years later, they had the 25th anniversary of ISKCON in 1991, and I saw him at the banquet hall, and he had hair down to here.
The temple president.
Yeah, and gotcha. I was going to say something to him, but I didn't. But I thought it was a double standard.
I mean, maybe not double standard. Maybe it was not a realized standard.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada quotes many times that verse in the 12th canto, that people in Kali Yuga, especially men, that talks about men will think they are beautiful if they have long hair. Many times Srila Prabhupada will quote that verse. Because especially the hippies, they had this cult of long hair. And so Srila Prabhupada said they'll think they are beautiful because they have long hair. About the stool on the head, I mean, of course, there is some difference. No, the hair, if somebody washes the hair, it's not really the same as stool. No. I mean, you can see the nature of stool is that when it goes out of the body, automatically it detaches from the body. But the hair is not like that. So it's not exactly the same. So it's an analogy. It's not really, you cannot take it really, it's the same. Because, you know, the hair is clean, you wash. And, yeah, no, I wasn't finished. But, like, one devotee in Denmark, he told me that when he went to the temple first time, he had long hair, really like a lot of curly hair like that. He was a rock musician or something. And the devotees, they said, your hair is crystallized stool. So he was saying that that was heavy, but he was saying in the, like, he was a double mind, saying maybe that was really too much as a preaching, but at the same time he said maybe that was what I needed to hear. That's what I needed to hear. That I was cultivating on my hair, no? And then what is it actually? It's something that comes out of the body. And it's not, it's just like you can see, when you see some hair, cut hair in the floor, it's not attractive at all. Who likes that? But when they put in the head, it becomes attractive somehow. It's very now decorative like that. Yes, you wanted to add something?
When the devotees would, you know, like, I forget his name, his name was Ramanuja, remember him? He cut his hair and then he started growing it back.
Ramanuja?
Yeah.
He was in India also.
Yeah, with Prabhupada.
Yeah.
And then Prabhupada said hippie seeds.
Hippie?
Hippie seeds.
Hippie seeds?
Seeds. You know, you plant
seeds. Oh, okay.
So it's like a reoccurring thing. You know, he didn't, you know, cut.
Yeah.
That was in the book.
Yeah, when Garga Muni, Brahmananda Garga Muni, when he came, he had long hair, no? So Srila Prabhupada would call them Shakespearean locks. Yes? Yeah, wait for the mic, that the whole world wants to hear your question.
I doubt that. You were saying that the vanaprastis, it's nice because they have a lot of experience. And I was thinking we see that there's really good engagement for the brahmacharis and the grihasthas and the sannyasis. But I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about, you know, what kind of engagements can be there for the vanaprastis within ISKCON.
Anything, according to their nature, according to their experience. Again, if they are still sound in body, no, they're still healthy. I'm confused by the question because anything, they can do anything. I don't see anything that they cannot do. Maybe some very physical work, maybe they're a little kind of advanced in age, maybe without the, besides the really heavy physical work, they can do anything. I don't see. I mean, they can take a lot of responsibility. You see, sometimes that's a different mood, but in the corporate world or even in the political arena, sometimes people, they become big when they are kind of in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, take a lot of responsibility. So they can do it in a detached way for Krishna. They can put their energy in so many things. So it's really, the sky's the limit, so to say. Can become gurus, take care of disciples, so many things. According to their nature. Somebody maybe is an accountant, somebody, you know, different people do different things. Like Kuladri Prabhu, you know, Kulada Prabhu, I think he's a Vanaprastha stage, you know, his children are, he's taking a huge responsibility, both in North America, I don't know, what's the title exactly? Support office. It's like you can compare almost like a CEO of ISKCON North America, checking all the legal things. And now he took another big responsibility. He's divisional director for legal, accounting, and regulatory compliance for the whole world. He's going to get all the papers from all over the world, the property deeds, you know, check everything. So, doesn't mean you have to be detached in the sense of do nothing or something. No, renew the energy, you put the life. No, people realize, you know, I'm only a few years of life, of good energy life, no, years, so I take responsibility. Not, again, not in a mundane way, but in a spiritual way. I want to serve my guru, come on. I mean, I did so many other things for my family, which, okay, was part, but now I want to really serve the mission. That's good. Vanaprasthas are good. I mean, it's very good. Yes, we'll take the Vanaprastha first.
This is the first time I'm getting this kind of respect. I don't know. I wonder sometimes about the material and spiritual interaction. To be here is an enormous opportunity.
You mean in the temple or in the movement? What do you mean?
To be here in this temple, uh-huh, and to associate with the devotees, and I don't tend to make any assumptions because, you know, just because I'm older and I've had material experiences certainly doesn't qualify me in a spiritual sense. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure. Sometimes I find myself having a little more patience than I would have if I were younger. Sometimes I can see someone's going through something and I think, well, they're young and, you know, that's part of what they need to go through. But I also try to defer to the advanced, the devotees, most of whom have been involved longer, and perhaps all of whom are more spiritually advanced. Just because of having been married and raised children and now being separated doesn't in and of itself provide any particular qualification unless it's applied properly.
Is it a question? Is it a comment?
Well,
it's a statement of humility?
Yes.
Huh?
I'm expressing some of my confusion and thoughts.
Well, first of all, what does it mean in a material experience? Experience, only the soul experiences anything, you know? So what exactly means a material experience? It's almost an oxymoron. You know what I mean? What's a material experience? Experience is only the soul can experience. So you as the soul, through this body, through your experiences, you have experienced some features of material life, we could say. And you were pious because, you know, you came to, you know, conclusion. It definitely gives you status. In other words, you have gone through these experiences. Like, I hope you don't have the desire to start a new family. You don't look for a new woman. No. So that means that this is an asset. So it's an asset in this life, no? It's like having gone through, say, university, you study, you get your master. It's an asset. You can use it, no? You may say, like a master, somebody make a master in something, but they can use that. It's an asset. Yes, you may say it's a material experience, but you have experienced certain aspects of the world, a certain aspect of Krishna's creation, that within this body makes you more detached, makes you more like satisfied. Those drives, this thirst is not there anymore. Yeah, you may say, well, ideally, the people would take sannyas, you know, like Madhvacharya took sannyas when he was, 12 years old. Shankaracharya took sannyas when he was 8 years old. Okay, but those are special personalities. One is Hanuman, one is Shiva. You know, and also you may see this, some sannyasi, ISKCON sannyasi, they take sannyas when they were 20 or 30, and they're very fixed. Okay, but you're not like trying to imitate, no? So for many of us, we need to go through that experience so that we get at one point, we have this kind of, it's done. So it is a spiritual asset. It is a asset as a platform for your spiritual life. Because that thing is done, your energy can be put into spiritual life. It's like you say, taking a bath in the morning. You may say it's a material experience. But you can categorize it as a material experience. You put your body under the shower, some material water goes on your material body. So you may say it's a material experience. But actually we all have experience that it's a spiritual asset. You come down with fresh clothes, you bathe it, and you feel ready for spiritual life. And we do have experience that sometimes, for some reason, we are traveling or something, we don't take bath, you don't feel the same. So you may say it's a material experience, but it's not. It's a support to your spiritual experience. So whatever you have done, I don't know your life, but whatever you've done, raising children in a dutiful way, you know, you send them to college, or you know, you gave them an education, you work hard. That was a life of tapasya, right? Get in the morning, go to work, come back, pay the bills. That purified you. Probably because you did it in a dharmic way, within the culture you were operating. And now you are clean. So it's like you have taken a long shower. So it's not, I don't see it as material experience. Just like taking a shower, you're not wasting half an hour brushing your teeth. You know, many times, you know, we all have experience, and time we cannot brush our teeth. How do we feel? Feel, no, can chant in like a very tamasic, no? So, you invested part of your life, and you did your Grihastha life. It was a Grihastha life. And now you're in the Vanaprastha stage, so enjoy the stage. You earned it.
All I can say is if you earn it, it's a big price to pay.
Yeah, of course.
A good price.
Yeah. Well, at least you paid it, no? You paid it. It's paid, you know? Paid in full, no? Sometimes you have those rubber stamps. Paid in full. Unless you have any pending responsibility. So, yes. Oh, you are, no, first Prabhu, then I come to you. What time do you have to stop? 8:30. Okay, we got 10 minutes. Few.
You were discussing how things should be done at the proper time in order for it to be most effective. And it seems in our movement, there seems to be confusion oftentimes in a lot of the ashrams and when is the right time to take the next step. I've seen for brahmacharis, there's confusion about when they should, if they're deciding to go to the grihastha ashram, at what time it should be done. And the grihastha ashram, we also don't always see so many, or we don't hear at least, about so many examples of persons taking the next step. We've heard many Maharajas joke about that. And so how to understand when is the right time to do it, because there's always seems to be some duties left over. And then the tendency is to just try to fulfill that, whatever duty is left over. And then people get confused about timing.
See, obviously, the question, when is the right time, or if there is a need to move to a different stage of life, that's very individual. Can just say, I mean, the Shastra gives some general indication, no, like 25 years, you become a Grihastha. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, girls should be married by when they get 16. But those are general indications. You can't just take them and apply them kind of artificially or just literally. Because, you know, some girl may come to the movement 20, 22, 25. So what do? You invent a time machine and you send them back to 16 you missed you're 9 years late. You know, your life is a spot. It's not. So I mean, obviously, you know, it's very, very personal. Each person has gone their their karma, their dharma. And again, first issue is: do we need to move to a next stage? That's the first question. Sometimes there is a need to move. Sometimes there is no need to move to a next stage. There's the story, in some kind of Vedic story, of a brahmachari who was a young child when he joined the ashram, and he would, like traditionally, like even Krishna was doing, would go and pick up wood for the yagya, for the guru. You just go every day, bring this wood on the head and come back and go on every day. Then one day, one hair of the sika got stuck in the... And of course in that ashram they did not have mirrors or anything. There was just this. So one day one hair of the sika got stuck in the bundle of sticks. So he took it out and he saw that the hair was white. He has spent all his life as a brahmachari, serving his guru, and that was his state of consciousness, just I'm a servant of the guru. And the life went, the body changed, he didn't even realize that. Again, it's not something we need to meditate, but I don't think I can give an answer that fits everything. You know, it's very individual. Like even in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada performed a lot of marriages, no? In New York, no, but in 66, no. But in San Francisco, everybody came with a girlfriend. So they started doing marriages almost every week. But then there was this Upendra who also had a girlfriend. But she was kind of strange, demonic type, you know, very against Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada in the Lilamrita says that he decided, I'll make him a brahmachari. So it's more like, instead of encouraging him to find another girlfriend, he said, no, you'll be a brahmachari, no, like that. And he did very, very wonderful service. He went to Australia when nobody was there, and he was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. In fact, when in 1977 in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was at the last stage of his life in this planet, and they asked him, whom you want as a servant? And he had thousands of disciples all over the world. But he said, bring Upendra. Srila Prabhupada personally asked for Upendra. So, it's very personal. But at the same time, there should be some effort. Because, see, the principle is austerity. Tapo divyam putrakayena satam. The life is a life of austerity. This austerity takes different forms in the different ashram. For brahmachari, may be going, 8 hours distributing books. And it's kind of physical austerity, mental austerity. People, what do you call, they disrespect you, they ignore you, they neglect you, they make fun of you. It's hard. For a grihastha, the austerity is that, you work all month, then you take a solid chunk of your salary, you give it to Krishna. That's an austerity. I mean, for somebody who's a brahmachari, you may not think, but it's an austerity. You have money, you give a good substantial portion of that money for the missionary activity. That's an austerity. And also taking care of children is an austerity, you know, they keep up at night and this and that. So there are different, the essence of like human life means austerity. But that austerity takes different forms in different ashrams. But so if the drive towards austerity is there, then it comes to the point that you come to the next level. But if one lives as a grihasta without no austerity whatsoever, we're now not even attempting to control the senses, without attempting to do charity, without attempting to serve the guests, and things like that, it's not automatic it will become a vanaprastha. In fact, you see, some people remain grihasthas all their life. All their life. Grihastha in the sense attached, and all the children, and then the grandchildren. Talking about hair, sometimes you see these Indian gentlemen that they dye their hair, and for some reason, sometimes they choose some bizarre colors. You know, you saw those red colors sometimes, no? And they look so what do you call it? Awkward, no? Huh? You know? You see, you know that this person, like for instance, have a white hair. No, you know, because by the age, they put this black thing and then the white is shows and that. It's like so awkward. Or sometimes they have only hair here, no? So some hair here, they let it grow and they put it over the head. No? It's so awkward. It's so bad. They look so ugly. Maybe, I think shave up, you know, bath, finish, clean head. Now it's even a fashion. So many people are shaved up. Sports star, you know, it's not that, no, before it was very rare, but now it's very, many people shave up. So what are you trying to, that, you know, recuperate some beauty from hair that is it's just falling off? And you want that? Right, we have 1 minute. If it's a simple thing.
The answer to your question was basically the essence is austerity, and that austerity takes different forms based on the person, so it's a very personal
process. Well, the austerity takes according to their stage in life.
Or in art, you know, the ISKCON situation is people are coming at all different stages, so it's like, you know. No brahmacharya, already grihasthas.
What?
No, there's no brahmacharya, already grihasthas.
There's no brahmacharya.
Meaning people come sometimes at that stage, you know, they already are married or something, and then they didn't have brahmacharya ashram prior to that. So then they have to somehow...
So what's your point?
Become detached to be able to move on later. So there's the form, I was saying, it's, you know, how, like you were mentioning in your class, not be too detached as a grihastha, not like as an order, but like, you know, sometimes you have to be careful of that. So it's like we're being brahmacharis and grihasthas at the same time. It's an interesting...
Being a brahmachari and a grihastha at the same time?
Yeah, it's like Prabhupada called them brahmachari grihasthas. You know, and
so what is your... It's a comment.
No, I can't ask the question because we don't have time to go through the answer.
Oh, so okay, you know, it's like a cliffhanger, you know? Come on. And I wanted to ask, stay tuned!
I think you answered it. That's what
okay,
I wanted to say.
Okay. So thank you very much for your attention. Forgive if there was any impropriety or any exaggerated lightness. So Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Vanaprastha Ashram Ki.